Oh, my.
Okay.
Welcome to the Demented Dungeons & Dragons podcast, where we have no dice to roll, and so we play it by ear.
Right. We play it by doodle.
I hit my doodle.
I'm still driving. I got another 10, 15 minutes. Still dealing with traffic and bad weather.
Yeah. Where are you now?
I'm almost to Coal City, Illinois.
But you're still in bad climate.
Huh?
But you're
still
in bad climate.
Yeah, it's been bad ever since Kentucky. But Kentucky was the worst. Big time. So, yeah. So because of all of that, my date's pretty much called off tomorrow.
All right, so you'll be a couple of days later. We're looking at clear weather for the next couple of days, though.
That's not so much that. It's just because I'm going to be running late.
Yep.
I'm not going to get there until tomorrow afternoon now. So, I'm just going to go ahead and probably, I'm still waiting for confirmation, but I'm pretty much probably just going to go ahead and go straight to Kansas City. Here I come. Still there?
Yes. Yeah, it sounds like you're not. There you go.
Yeah, this is a patchy spot right before I get to the yard. So, yeah, more than likely I'm just going to go ahead and head straight to Kansas City. Kansas City, here I come. And then spend time with my mumsy and my grammy, my two grandmammies and my aunt. Anyways.
Yes.
Bada bing, sucker. So, Mars and Venus. Apparently, you and I are from Venus.
Okay. I thought men were from Mars.
Yeah, well, I guess we're not men. Just kidding. Not all men are from Mars, and not all women are from Venus. We are Venusians. We actually need a Martian female.
A Martian female. I think I married one of those.
Yeah, me too. Most of my exes are Martians.
Yeah. I don't know where she was, but she wasn't from this planet.
Yeah, I can resonate with that too, actually. Okay, bad roads again. Hang on. Gearing down.
Hold on tight.
Yeah. You can always tell when you're changing county, when the roads go from good to bad to ugly.
Yeah.
And vice versa. And you got stupid morons who drive around with their high beams on and blind the hell out of everybody. So, happy Valentine's Day!
What's that?
Yeah, I forgot to do a broadcast on Facebook to let all the other poor saps who don't have a date tonight know to call in.
Right.
Relationships. Yeah, we can go just about anywhere with that. Over 40 and scared of women because I've been hurt too much.com.
Oh, yes.
Five love languages.
Yes.
You know what the five love languages are?
Touch, communication.
Physical touch.
I'm not sure about
communication.
Words of affirmation.
Yes, words of affirmation is...
Quality time.
Quality time is another one.
I can't think of the name of it, but it's where you serve other people.
Action. Okay. There, hang on. I forget the exact terminology of the action one, but basically it's where you are doing, acts of service.
Acts of service. There we go.
Yeah. It's an action.
Now, what's the one where I was calling it communication, but it's not that exactly. It's
not communication. It's communication is, a foundational deal, but it's not a love language. okay, you have acts of service, you have physical touch, you have quality time, words of affirmation, and receiving of gifts.
Yes, yes. Yeah, the gifts one is the one that doesn't register too well. Unfortunately, it's what society does by default.
It's what?
It's what society does by default. So somebody gives me a gift, and, I receive it, and I'm cheerful about it, but they think it means more than it means to me. So.
Well, yeah. And those people that are giving gifts are people who like to receive gifts. But not necessarily true, because my astrology, I like to lavish and spoil my woman with gifts. But yet, I don't really like to receive them so much. I do, but it's not my number one, number two, number three, or number four love language. It's like my number five.
Yeah, gift receiving is on the bottom of my list. I'm pretty equal between the physical touch and the what was the other one I was equal on? I forget. They actually were all pretty close ties. When I scored myself on this deal, Geek got a zero, and everything else pretty much at the top.
Yeah, my number one is acts of service. My number five is receiving of gifts. And the other three, I guess it depends on the situation. Acts of service, action-oriented. Showing, putting your money where your mouth is. Not just talking the talk, but walking the walk.
Yep.
Lip service pisses me off. I hate it when somebody says they're going to do something, and then they never follow through.
Uh-oh. I better get busy.
Yeah, get on that fence, ding darn diddly.
Yeah, I gotta call this guy and find out about the hedge post again. I guess he's never gonna respond. I don't know.
Well, like I said, we can buy them. We don't gotta go worry. We can worry about collecting them, and later. Crap! Slip and slide. We can worry about, collecting them later for future projects at cheaper rates. I just want to get productive and get things done. I'm a get-her-done kind of guy.
Yep. And you're right. Hey, has written the Neighbors magazine. All right, well, never mind. This is not a relationship subject. Never mind.
What is it, gardening?
It was on gardening, yes. But that's,
well,
that's another subject.
Well, gardening fall under quality time.
Maybe.
Spending.
Activist.
You know, spending quality time with your partner, tending the fields. And quality time is all, you know, some people say that, well, quality time does not mean watching television together. It means actually doing real quality time. But what if that person really likes watching TV and they really like quality time and that's what they want to do? That would be quality time. You know, like my my last wife, that was important to her. Watching television was not important to me. But quality time was important to the both of us. So as long as I was spending quality time with her, we were both happy doing whatever it was that, you know, she or I or whatever we wanted to do. So quality time is doing with your partner what you both or what your partner enjoys doing, if quality time is important to them. You got to figure out what your partner's love language is or what order their love language is. And then, you know, go that route. You know, a lot of people with the whole five love language thing, they only focus on your number one love language. And I'm like, well, that's stupid. You should focus on all of them. You know, find out what their priorities are, what their secondaries, thirds. Because if you just focus on one, you're still going to alienate the other love languages.
And well, and then there's this. The author admits, at first he only thought there were two love languages. Then he discovered a third and a fourth. He's up to five. And on one of those, quality time, he recognizes there's lots of dialects of quality time. For you, quality time might be going to the baseball game. For her, it might be going to the opera.
Right. Like,
the opera is the opposite of quality time, and for her, baseball is the opposite of quality time. You know? So you need to work that out, too.
Yeah. It's like this one I'm talking to now, she's into football, so paying attention to football and doing football things with her would be the definition of quality time because it's important to her. I have no clue what football is. You just throw this thing around and you run around and try to tackle people. Actually, football to me is soccer. And then the other football is actually more like handball. You just run around and tackle the guy with the ball.
I tell you what, football to me is not a quality time if we're watching it. But if we're actually playing it, then it's quality time.
Yeah. I don't know. Depends on the person, I guess, because who wants to run around and get tackled by their... Well, I don't know. I might want to get tackled by her. Yeah, okay. I agree with you.
Well, I mean, in sport, I find it very boring to watch other people play unless I know them.
Right.
And even then, I would prefer to play it with them than to watch them play. Unless, you know.
Hang on, I'm backing. Go ahead. Keep talking.
Yeah. Well, another book to look up is Nonviolent Communication.
I don't know if I agree with that, but go ahead.
Have you ever read it?
No, but I've had somebody iterate it to me.
Okay. Yeah, I'm...
But, you know, to each their own. Go ahead. Explain what that means and what it's all about while I disconnect the screen.
I haven't read the book in quite a while. I got to go back and read it, actually.
Well, you got the basics. I'll be right back.
Thanks. So here's me hemming and hawing, because while I know that's a good book, I cannot remember the details behind the features of nonviolent communication. I do know a lot of people have attacked his book and his philosophy, saying, oh, well, you're just a bunch of pacifists and you let people roll over you. And he points out, no, you set your boundaries. You set, you know, you set the limits and such. But he does talk about things like calling people names is a form of violence. Even if you're on things like, hey, you're beautiful, that can be just as bad as saying, hey, you're stupid. Okay? He pushes for people to, he suggests for people to say things like, I really appreciate your lecture. It may feel good and provided for changes in my life when you said blah, blah, blah. In other words, he's telling people that when you compliment them, you don't really give them any information that's helpful to them. All right? And if anything, you might fluffen up their ego, which can be as bad as stepping on their ego, right? What you want to do is you want to give them information that tells them what they did right or what they did wrong and what they can do about it and how you felt about it. You know, so. And I guess that's like the extremely short version of nonviolent communication. Did I hear my co-host in the background? I guess not. You must have been walking around. Yeah, relationships. Yeah, this is why we should take show notes and be ready for communication. Because I'm not good at this monologue thing. I kind of need somebody to speak so that I have something to respond to. Yeah, that's what I said.
Holy Toledo, Batman. It's nasty out there.
Oh, yeah.
I made it with 1 minute to spare on my logbook.
Woohoo.
Yeah. Some out of hours.
You're out of hours.
Yep.
But there's 24 of them in every day. Let's grab another.
Drop 7049 post trip inspection.
Right.
Alright. Sorry, what?
What does that have to do with relationships?
It has to do with my relationship with my employer because I'm doing my job. Woo! Slippery out there. Alright. I'll park around front. Because I'm leaving before the mechanics get here in the morning. So, all right. I did not hear anything you said about the book. Are you talking about the one where you don't tell somebody that they're beautiful or sexy or awesome or something like that? you tell them why you think they're that way?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I thought. I agree and disagree. I mean, I agree with the concept of, you know, reiterating why you think such things. But at the same time, I don't think it hurts to call them good names. But that's my own opinion, and you know what they say about opinions. They're like rear ends, and most of them stink.
Like my cat Stinky, who now is Stinky again.
Yay. For the stinky cat. Hey, I got that skunk oil. We can make him smell real good. Okay. My truck's messed up.
Yeah, actually, I was so happy to see him after he was gone for less than a day.
Less than a day. Not so much him as Silver. Silver disappeared for how many days?
Oh, my gosh. About two, going on 3 days. But see, the thing with Silver, though, is you cannot see Silver at night.
True.
And so he might have been back. All right? You know? But guess what she came back with today?
A hawk.
A hawk. Bits, pieces of one, at least. I'm pretty sure it was a hawk. It might have been an eagle. But it was some sort of bird of prey. It was missing the head and one leg. And it's kind of hard to tell how many wings there are on the thing because it was kind of mangled.
It'd be funnier if she caught it instead of the other way around.
Say what?
Said that'd be funny if it tried to hunt her and she killed it instead.
Well, you know, whatever this bird was, it was bigger than her.
Right.
So either she took it away from some other animal who killed it, oh, either way, it's pretty impressive.
That's what I was thinking. Hey, what's happening?
Snowstorm.
Yeah, I know.
How are the roads?
Nasty. Really nasty.
I got to leave here about...
Where are you going?
5 a.m. I got to go up to Brad
and finish the park. Oh, okay. Well, I came from Kentucky, and that's where it really started getting nasty. But I understand west, it's not so bad.
I'm going east once I get...
Oh, good luck. I'll pray for you. I say, good luck. I'll pray for you. I'm going west. Kansas City, here I come.
I don't get that button anymore. Yeah, you can't turn it that way.
Oh, it's open anyway, so I'm just... It's all good.
Again?
All right. See you later. Fellow driver.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's going to Transylvania. And the storm is going that direction.
Yeah.
Hey, you can't even see my license plate. That's a good thing.
You're talking about the type of Transylvania where they have pencils instead of teeth.
Yeah, Pennsylvania. Where all the Amish are from.
Is it?
I don't know. Heck if I know. Oh. Relationships. Oh, let me post on Facebook.
And then I believe a couple of gentlemen by the name of Townsend and Cloud wrote another book called Boundaries, which was a pretty good book. That one can get kind of political, though, because if you take it to its full extent, you might tend to tell the government where to put itself.
Yeah, well, the government definitely has no business in our relationships.
Well, yeah, the government tends to overstep boundaries, but that's an entirely different rabbit hole.
Yeah. Well, we could talk about that rabbit hole with relationships like marriage.
True.
You know, don't get New World Order sanctions on your marriage.
Right. I mean, if you're a child of God, or even if you don't believe in God, why are you asking permission from somebody who doesn't own you to join with somebody else that they don't own? You don't need their permission. You just do it.
Do it to it, like Kurt used to do it.
You might want that relationship to be witnessed by others because, you know, basically you're making a contract between yourselves and it's nice to have witnesses around and to have a nice ceremony surrounding that. That would be great too, all right, because it kind of, you know, puts a punctuation mark on the event, all right? I'm not saying just grab her and take her to bed and say, okay, you're my wife now, all right?
That's what I do.
You idiot! Oh, no.
You idiot. Well, yeah, I don't sleep with somebody unless she's wife material.
Right. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, see, I tend to do it a little.
That would be another. That'd be another relationship subject. But go ahead.
Yeah. So, you know, go get your friends and family and for me, I believe in actually courting the woman for a while. You know, you want to give it about a year to really get to know her, her family, her friends. For her to know your friends, your family, you know.
I agree with that.
Get to know their bad habits, their good habits. Maybe good habits of your own. Have your own bad habits exposed to you so that you can, you know, like possibly fix them or decide if it's worthwhile fixing them, you know. So you might find out after 3 months that you really can't stand each other, and so it'd be time to call it off, you know.
Oh, I know. That's why I usually tell women that I don't even meet for 3 to 6 months because I usually know within the first 3 months of talking to them on the phone whether I even want to meet them or not.
Yes, and then again, there are other people who in one day I made the determination that, yes, I'd be willing to meet you, but you're not even date material.
Right.
We might be able to carve out some sort of friendship, but that's about it.
Yep. All right. I finally got my freaking phone to work so I can post this on freaking Facebook.
Is freaking a bad word?
Freaking. I'm freaking out, man.
Yeah.
All right, let's see here. For all you poor saps like us,
who
don't have a date tonight. Feel free to call into our podcast. We are already 30 minutes in. Feel free to join us. Happy face. And then paste the podcast information. Tag everybody. Mostly David, David, and David.
Right.
Boom. Hello, I said post. There it goes. What the heck did it do? Boom, boom, boom. Boom, to see if it worked. Let's refresh. I don't think it worked. So, government sanctions. I do not want government sanctions on my marriage. Why do I not want government sanctions on my marriage?
Well, who wants a third person in the bed with them? Well, all right, I retract that statement. Who wants Sam in the bed with them?
Right. And not only that, but, you know, who wants to give Uncle Sam the fruits of your labor? I mean, according to the contract, Uncle Sam owns your marriage if you have, you know, government sanctions on your marriage, and they own the fruits of your labor. In other words, you're basically telling them that you're giving them permission, or you're turning over your children to them, basically. They own your children, according to that contract. Am I correct or no?
Well, it appears to be the case. All right? You know, that's why I prefer my marriage contract to be between me and my betrothed. And if I'm going to include a third party, that'd be our Heavenly Father, who I know has our best interest in heart. So.
Right. I mean, the government tries to step in and act like they own the children anyways, but when you have that contract with the government, that basically just gives them permission.
Right, which I have some friends where the government did step in for a while and tried to do that. They didn't give their children any Social Security numbers. One of them is mentally handicapped. And he managed to wander away from the home up to the neighbor's house. And the neighbor knew who the child belonged to, but rather than contact them, called social services instead. So
right.
Social services came out and had child protection services, whatever, for the area contacted. And so they spent the next 6 months dealing with biweekly visits when the county finally decided, well, okay, these are really good parents, and, you know, it's just, you know, the child wandered off. So.
And I'm not saying that we don't need somebody looking out for the children necessarily, but, you know, we don't need the government overstepping their bounds.
Well, we do. I mean, the neighbor was there, and it wasn't necessarily the neighbor's responsibility, but the neighbor noticed. And the good and Christian thing to do would have been, if you knew who the parents were, contact them, you know? And if it really bothered you, let them know that was a very serious thing to happen. And then only involve another party when it appears that you can no longer help them because they're not taking, you know, steps to be helped. You know.
Right. So you see something like that, the community thing to do is to contact, you know, the parents and say, look, hey, you know, there's this issue that needs to be addressed according to my standards. You don't just go around the parents and call some New World Order agency and get the parents in trouble. Because you don't think that the parents have authority over their own children.
If anything, by doing that, you're saying that they don't have authority over their experience. Children. You're literally saying you don't have authority over yourself when you do that.
Pretty much. You're calling your slave master to step in and do their slave master thing. United we stand, divided we fall. We need to stand together and not be turning to the government to solve our problems. And the government has no business in our relationships, personally. That's my opinion.
Well?
Government's business is, I used to say the government has two jobs. Protect our borders and protect our rights. Now I say the government has one job. That's just to protect our rights. It's our job to protect our borders.
And quite frankly, from what I've seen, it never protects your rights. So, why have a government?
Well, true. I mean, the government used to, maybe a long time ago, and that was what, you know, like the Constitution was designed to do was not to give us rights, but to protect our rights that we already had. But, yeah. So that's the only thing that our government should be doing is protecting our rights. They should not be meddling in our businesses. They should only be acting as our servants, not as our masters. So, yeah, they don't belong in our relationships. And I will not have government sanctions on my marriage again in the future. I really, my first wife and I, we had a tribal wedding, a Native American wedding.
Woohoo!
Yeah, the first time. Then when we didn't work out and we kind of dissolved our relationship, if you will, we were apart for a couple of years and we got back together and then we got married with New World Order sanctions. Yeah. But we didn't really, I mean, we kind of knew better and we kind of didn't know better. We were still young and stupid.
True enough.
My second wife, we got married under the New World Order sanctions. And my third wife, we never did the New World Order sanctions. We didn't really have a ceremony either. We were going to, but I had a nervous breakdown because I was scared. So we just did our own little ceremony in our tent type of thing. And
you truly are from Venus, aren't you?
Something. And so we never had New World Order sanctions on our marriage. Yeah. But that kind of backfired on me because she used that as an excuse to cheat on me because we weren't legally married.
Right. She didn't care what God had to say. She only cared what Uncle Sam had to say.
Right. So, of course, now she's miserable. But that's another story. But, yeah, relationships. Relationships are like a dance with visible energy racing back and forth between the partners. But some relationships are the slow, dark dance of death.
You've read this before.
I got that memorized. It's by Colette Dowling. She wrote the book. No, wait. I don't know if she's the one who actually wrote that quote, but anyways, I got it from the book Codependent No More. Teaches people how not to be codependent. I am a codependent, or I'm a recovering codependent. That would be a relationship topic as well, codependency. mother was
I'm
a codependent.
Codependent.
Pardon?
I'm God's codependent.
Yeah. Well, my mother was a codependent. I was a codependent. And my brother and my father were the other people, whatever that is. They're not the dependent. What is that?
The enabler.
Enabler. There you go. No, the codependent is the enabler.
And I believe you just suffered the 1 second delay between what you say and what I say.
I don't know. Anyways, yeah, there's a lot of different things, but codependency is a major problem, especially with people that get involved with alcoholics, drug addicts. The people who get involved with the alcoholics and the drug addicts usually end up becoming codependent. But it's not always necessarily that. You know, just people with abusive personalities, abusive behaviors. Anyone who gets in a relationship with somebody like that usually becomes a codependent if they stay in that relationship.
Right.
Seven, zero, four, nine.
Well, it's along the lines of when a couple first meet, they're usually in that fluttery stage of, oh, they're just absolutely perfect. He has no flaws. Why, a man should pick his nose.
Yeah.
You know. And it's later on when they drop out of that honeymoon stage that, like, wait a minute. He's picking his nose again. That's pretty gross.
Yep. Well, I don't know. My parents always told me to keep my nose clean, so.
I'm cleaning my nose, dear. I'm taking out the trash. Isn't that what you told me to do earlier?
Right.
Anyway. Yeah. Wish we had a caller.
Call us, we're lonely, we need some company. Call! Call us now. All right, we need some subliminal messages to tell people to call in every day. I mean, every Friday.
Every Sunday.
Sunday at 7 p.m. Oh, yeah. Relationship Sunday.
Yeah, like we were really prepared for a relationship. No wonder we can't keep a girl.
Right. Hang on a second.
Oh, my. No wonder my piece of software didn't have any documentation.
What's that?
Thing to prove every day of your...
This software was written by a gentleman from Japan. I can read two words on the page. One is homu. The other one is gamu.
You what?
I can read homu and gamu. That's the only two words I can read, and I know what they actually mean.
Sabi go, sabi mo.
Homu is home, so it's the home page for the site. And gamu is game. So apparently he wrote some game programs.
First Corinthians.
Okay.
Love is patient. That's the one I got to work on.
Chapter who?
Hang on. First Corinthians. I think it's just, chapter 3, I think. Somebody bleeped away. And it had to have been David Ray. He'll be back. Oh, 13. 1 Corinthians 13, I believe. Yes, 1 Corinthians 13. This is one of my favorite scriptures. So I can find, here we go, here's a good one. There he is.
Yeah, my phone said you hung up on me.
Whatever. So, love is patience. That's a difficult one.
Well. I don't think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 3.
13.
Chapter 13. The lucky chapter.
Right. Love is kind. We don't really have to worry about that one too much. We're too nice. Love does not envy. Is that like coveting?
No, I don't think so.
All right, so what does that mean? Love does not envy.
It's a form of jealousy. I guess it would be along the lines of saying love does not hate.
Right. Envy. Well, jealousy. That's not in here specifically. Yes, it is. It's under, yeah, that would fall under trust. Well, I guess there's different kinds of jealousy.
Yeah, jealousy would be trust. You should be jealous for your wife, but you shouldn't be jealous about her. You shouldn't have to be.
Right. You should be able to trust your partner. You shouldn't have to worry about being jealous. Now, jealousy can be good or bad. But it's a matter of whether or not you have control over your jealousy or not. Yeah, because it's kind of like a Catholic priest told me one time, just because you have temptation doesn't mean you have sinned. You know? And just because you do certain things, like being jealous, for example, is not a sin until you let that jealousy consume and control you. When you let that jealousy dictate your actions, that's when it becomes a sin. So, in that, man alive, what's up with this?
Okay, so here's different biblical translation. I couldn't find what you were reading because I was looking for the word love. All right? And here in verse 4 it starts out, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up.
Proud. Right.
Right.
Yeah, see, I'm looking at it from the NIV version. So we can go into both of those. Puffed up. I guess that would be proud, right?
Puffed up, yeah, that'd be proud behavior.
Now, we're talking about love and charity and relationships, even though the scripture is not necessarily talking about just relationships. It's talking about global harmony.
It's talking about relationship in the broader sense.
Yeah. Global harmony.
Global harmony.
Wow, these roads are messed up. I'm running. I can't even grab a freaking gear.
All right, here you go. I found it in the original Greek. Do you want me to read it to you?
Okay.
It'll all be Greek to you, though.
I understand.
You understand Greek?
No.
That's good, because I don't.
I understand in the legal sense.
Yeah, you stand under the Greek in the legal sense. Okay. I can't even say I do that. But I found it.
Well, all right. Continue.
Yeah.
Okay,
I can't even read it to you because I don't know my letters well enough.
Okay. Dang darn diddly. What's the matter with you?
I know. Oh, hey, I know this one word. It's agape. I actually
agape.
Know that word. So when they say charity, I bet you it's the word agape, because I see agape over and over again. Okay. You know what? I think I'll sit down with a dictionary and work this out. But not right now.
But not right now.
Let me see.
I'm going to have nutritious and delicious Taco Bell.
I don't think it's either one of those things, is it?
Well, it's a little too cold to go foraging, and I'm not going to go forage in the winter. And the grocery store is closed, and I'm hungry.
You found some chickweed already this year.
I know, down in Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah, that's better than me. And I'm the expert forager in our group.
not.
So, all right. I have the whole 1 Corinthians 13 in my phone, so let me find it here. I lost it. There it is. Selfish. Oh, rude. Love is not rude. Charity is not rude. What is the King James if charity is not rude? It's after pride.
No. Let's see now. Well, it's in small print. I'm in a dark place. Does not behave itself unseemly.
On what?
Unseemly. I added a meaning the first time. It doesn't have it.
Okay.
Seeketh not. Her own is not.
Oh, seeking not thy own would not be selfish.
Thinketh no evil.
Hang on. Okay. Right. So that would be love is not selfish, love is not easily angered, love does not keep record of wrong.
Rejoiceth not in iniquity,
but
rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things.
I'm pretty sure that
charity never faileth.
Keep going without me.
Really? Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there he prophesies, they shall fall. Whether there be tongue, they shall speak. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Yeah, I'm not sure what that has to do with much. Probably should have read the rest of the deal, see what it's actually talking about.
Well, let's see here.
What we know in part, and we prophesy in part. Okay.
Oh, you can stop at verse 8.
Yeah, it seems that, that's where it started to go sideways.
Yeah, it's verses 4 through 8. But yeah, basically it says, love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy, love does not boast, love is not proud, love is not rude, love is not selfish, love is not easily angered, love does not delight in evil, love rejoices in truth. Love always protects. Love always trusts. Love always hopes. Love always preserves. And love never fails.
Right, and in 8, it starts to go sideways and says love is basically walking in the dark and is blind.
That's weird.
Because it just does what it's told.
Yeah, love is blind, that's for sure.
Yeah, I don't know about that. If it's true, truth, it's not blind.
True. Yeah, I was seeking truth. The light's in truth.
I'm thinking chapter 8 in the King James may have been translated badly, maybe, or I'm not understanding it clearly. Either way, I'll have to look at it more closely.
More closely. Ah, high fructose corn syrup.
It's Valentine's Day. We have no callers. Does that mean all of our people have dates out and they're all out at some fancy restaurant?
Everybody but us.
Everybody but us losers. I mean, us.
Losers. Yeah, my date's pretty much called off for tomorrow. Dang darn, did he?
You're not going to make it there in time for tomorrow?
No. I'm actually even going to be later than I thought I was going to be earlier because I basically went over my logbook to do my post trip, which is fine. I can do that. I just can't drive. Well, I can drive to, like, Taco Bell because I'm off duty, not driving. I'm on my personal time now. I was going to go to a car wash and vacuum my truck, but I think I'm going to wait till I get to Kansas City. Because it's nasty up here. But no, yeah, I'm not going to make it there till like after 2, maybe. If I'm lucky, I'll make it there around 2, and her kids get home from school around 3, and we're still in the newbie stages, and a lot of women don't want to introduce their children to some strange dude until they get to know them better.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that.
Yeah.
A lot of times kids will like a guy that's not really all that good for mom. And
or the other way around.
Yeah.
But,
Not like a guy that's good for mom.
Usually it's the other way around, but I don't know. I mean, she didn't confirm that.
She can't get their hopes up on something that's not real, you know?
Right. Yeah, she didn't confirm or deny what I said. I just told her that I assume, because she's got 5 water signs in her chart, that she would fall into that category. I said, some women don't feel comfortable introducing the kids to some strange dude till they know the guy better. Since you have 5 water signs in your chart, I assume you would fall into this category, and I haven't heard anything, so who knows? I mean, I still might be able to have dinner with her and the kids as a friend, whatever. Because, you know, friends first anyways. That's my philosophy.
Right.
Because we're still just getting to know each other. It's not like we're moving too fast. Well, maybe too fast in some people's books. But, yeah, courtship. David takes a year. I take 6 months. Now, I mean, you and I are a lot alike when it comes to relationships and what we accept from relationships, what we accept as far as, I got to turn my headlights on, as far as what we accept to be acceptable on first, second, third dates and whatnot like that, you know. Like a lot of people, not a lot, but, you know, there's some people who want to have sex on a first date. And I don't even kiss, let alone have sex on the first date.
I'm sorry, if I run across a girl like that, well, I have recently. But I run for more reasons than just that.
Right. Yeah. No. Yeah, I mean, I don't even kiss on the first
date. Time I met her. I mean, that's the first time I met her. It's like, no.
Right? Then she accused you of being gay because you didn't want to have sex with her.
Yeah, I didn't want to have sex with all 300 or 400 pounds of her.
Yeah, well, even if she was attractive, you still wouldn't have done it.
This is true. This is true.
Right. Just like myself, I wouldn't. There's no way I would do that on a first date. Or whatever, you know. I mean, this girl just came up to you at McDonald's and was, like, propositioning you. It's like, I don't even know you.
Yeah.
In fact, she did the same thing to me. Of course, I already knew who she was, but I still barely knew her. And she propositioned me. And I'm like, no, I'm already courting somebody, you know, so I'm not interested. And I remembered the whole thing she did with you. Oh, you must be gay because you don't want to have sex with me. So I showed her who I was courting to let her know that I'm not gay.
You know what? As far as I'm concerned, let her think that.
True. Who cares what they think?
Yeah, because that's... Wow.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you know, you got to have respect for yourself and for other people. I mean, just propositioning some stranger in a McDonald's is... not having respect for yourself, nor the other person for that matter, but it's also not having respect for the other people that you're going to be intimate with in the future. I mean, I won't even be intimate with somebody without an STD test. I mean, I won't wait a year to get married or anything like that, or, you know, under our rules, regulations, standards, and guidelines. You know, to get involved with a woman, I won't wait a year or more, or wait till marriage to know someone in a biblical sense. But I got, you know, my own rules, regulations, standards, and guidelines. You know, I got to know her for a few months before I'll even, you know, really consider it. And I got to have an STD test because I'm not just thinking about myself. If that person doesn't work out, you know, I got to think about, you know, the person in the future. You know, I don't want to pass something on to somebody else, let alone get something myself. And, of course, I'm not really worried about STDs so much because understanding alternative health, 99% of any diseases are curable. The New World Order doesn't want us to know that, but 99% of everything is curable.
Yeah.
So I'm not really...
The book I'm reading right now is vitamin C for most of that stuff.
Right. I mean, I'm not so much worried about contracting an STD, but at the same time, it's not a battle I want to fight. So, you know, I don't even mess with somebody unless I get an STD test. So, and that takes, you know, time to process and make sure everything's, you know, in order.
So you tell her, if you're in a hurry, if you're in a hurry, you better run to the hospital right now and get that test done.
Right. Run! Don't walk.
And if you come back with it tomorrow, that might worry me.
Well, yeah, because it takes a couple weeks, actually, for them to run all the tests.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. But if I was worried about the person, I'd have them get tested and then wait 3 to 6 months and have them go get tested again. Like, all right, I want two. You know?
I'm separated by 3 months. And if they think that over, they'll realize what you're saying.
Right. Well, yeah. It used to be you had to wait 6 months before you can get tested again because it takes 6 months to actually show up anything. But now the tests have improved to where they can detect things within 3 months. I just found that out this year, or last year, because I was still stuck in old school. Because I was in a relationship for 7 years, I didn't need to know all this stuff. So in that time frame, it all changed.
Right.
But yeah, we're about long-term relationships. Period. And so that's one of the reasons why we're doing this podcast on relationships for Valentine's, because you know, we believe in long-term healthy relationships. So we study how to be productive for a long-term healthy relationship. And if anybody wants to call in a future date, we can talk about this again. And if anybody has a specific topic they want to talk about, they can call in with a specific topic, whether it's relationship, religion, doesn't matter, astrology. We could talk about astrology right now, too, for relationships, because...
Life and are determined that others take notice.
I'm listening to an astrology reading right now, actually. I converted it to MP3 so I can listen to it. But, I just discovered, well, actually I didn't just discover it. I discovered it before, but it didn't click. It didn't make sense to me until recently. Another part of the astrology that I'm doing for relationship compatibility. And my brother, you know, I'm jealous of my brother. Just kidding, not really. I told him I was jealous, and then I said, I'm just kidding, I'm proud, or I'm happy for him. But him and his wife are astrologically compatible, for the most part. I mean, there is no perfect astrology. But when they got together, I only knew, like, her birthday. I didn't know her time and location of birth. So I only knew part of her astrology. But a little over a year ago, I ended up getting all of her accurate birth information, and I ran their charts, and I ran their astrology. And they're actually very astrologically compatible. I think the only thing that was off was their Mars, which is their energy. Her Mars is a lot more aggressive and dominant than his. She has Mars in Scorpio. He has Mars in Leo. It's not necessarily compatible. It's a square. But according to some astrologers, you want a square on your Mars. In their case, the square on their Mars works out. But in my case, the only way the square on my Mars would work out is if it was a more aggressive Mars. Because I have an aggressive Mars and I can't have a weaker Mars. I've been with weaker Marses. And they usually turn out to be lazy and just worthless. So I need a more aggressive Mars, more assertive Mars. Mars is energy and sexual needs. Well, just because somebody has, you know, a good placement for sex as far as their Mars goes, it doesn't mean they're going to have good energy. So you have to make sure that you have both with that person. And, I've had the good sex par with people on their Mars, but I didn't have the good energy with people on their Mars, and so it created problems in a relationship. So anyways, their Marses are not necessarily compatible, but they're both got good, strong, dominant Marses. They're both very assertive, very aggressive, and so it could work. Now, when I did the compatibility readings and I was looking at the scores, when you do like a star match report, it gives you a score at the bottom. And I don't have any on me. I have to open up my computer. But it has a communication index, and it has a compatibility index, and it's got harmonious, inharmonious, and then it gives you your totals at the bottom. My brother and his wife are like an 8.4 on the total compatibility index. And basically, it's, you know, 0 to 10. So an 8.4 is like extremely high. Astrologers consider a 2.5 to be very high. So anything over a 2.5 is like super awesome. But you got to make sure you have all your other planets, you know, aligned also, because this compatibility index I was looking at, I went through all of the charts that I had in my database and picked out all, well, there's only two that was over six compatible to me. So I analyzed, well, I looked at the two that were over six, and one of them, I didn't have a birth time, so that one was irrelevant. So I had to strike that one from the record. The other one was like a 7 point something. And that one I had a birth time and everything else. But the problem with that one was Mercury was off. With that birth chart, Mercury was in Sagittarius, and I have Mercury in Virgo. Virgo and Sagittarius are not compatible. And Mercury is how you think and communicate. So even though this person, wherever they may be, would have a 7 point something or other long-term compatibility with me, we would have problems in our Mercury. We would have communication problems in the short term. And we may not make it to the long term because of the communication problems.
Right.
So there's two sides to looking at that for people who are interested in astrology. You look at all the planets, make sure the planets are as compatible as possible, and then you run the compatibility report and make sure that's as high as possible. The one I'm talking to right now, her moon is just slightly off, but it could work. And the only other planet that's off is her Saturn. And so she's extremely compatible, according to my book, with house placements and the whole nine yards. Ascendant, Midhaven, everything is like either primary, secondary, or third compatible. Really good according to my book. When I did the compatibility reading, we are a 2.11 compatible. So we're still good as far as long-term compatibility, because my last wife, she was only a 0.5 compatible to me. Most all of her stuff lined up with me. The only thing that was off with her was her Mars and her Jupiter. And her and I made it 7 years. So if we can make, if her and I made it 7 years with a 0.5 long-term compatibility, I could probably go the rest of my life with a 2.1. You know what I mean? I mean, if it works out. You know, there's other variables. There's religion, culture, environment, upbringing, and then God had to freaking give us good. God had to freaking give us free will. Why? Why the heck did he have to give us free will?
Because there'd be no point in all this if he hadn't?
Probably, I don't know. But I mean, yeah, free will mess up astrological compatibility quicker than anything else. But yeah, so in astrological compatibility, you have sun, you know, most people are just going by the sun signs and the Chinese zodiac. We had this discussion last night a little bit about the Chinese zodiac. Zodiac is off by like 2 to 3 months.
Okay.
And every year that passes, it's off by a few more days every year. So it gets more and more off. The Chinese are going to have to go redo it soon, otherwise it's going to be all messed up.
Isn't that the same for the European zodiac thing?
What do you mean by European?
Isn't it off by a couple of months already?
You mean the one that I do?
The birth signs and stuff. Isn't that kind of why in 1964 they jumped the gun and said it was the year of Aquarius?
Oh, I don't know. Oh. Who knows what they were talking about back then? I don't know. The astrology that I'm doing is based on the stars and the astrological alignments, you know, as the planets move through the skies. Chinese astrology goes by year to year. Now, their year starts in February. Our year starts in January. Now, they're basing their years on the calendar months, not on Jupiter, like they originally based it on. Jupiter is supposed to be the annual calendar. If we did the lunar months, everything would line up. No habla?
No habla.
So, the Chinese zodiac is off. The sun signs are irrelevant if you're only using sun signs. Sun sign is soul. Sun sign is the foundation. So, yeah, you want to look for sun signs, but you also need to look at their moon. The moon changes about every 2 hours. No, I'm sorry. About every 2 days. You also have the ascendant. The ascendant changes every 2 hours. Give or take. Not give or take an hour, but give or take so many minutes. So about every 2 hours, the ascendant changes. About every 2 days, the moon changes. And I forget how fast Mercury and Venus, Mars rotates. And then Jupiter rotates about every year. The ascendant is how we appear. And then the ascendant dictates all the house placements. It also dictates the Descendant, and it dictates the Midhaven, and all the other outer aspects that I'm not familiar with yet. The Midhaven is how we operate our lives. The Descendant is what we're attracted to. For example, David Ray and I have Libra ascendants and Aries descendants. So we appear diplomatic, I forgot the other words for a Libra ascendant, how they appear. But, you know, calm, cool, collective, reserved, things like that. We appear balanced.
But appearances are deceiving.
Yes, appearances are deceiving. See, a lot of people are attracted to each other through the way that we appear. They're attracted to each other's ascendants. Because, oh, they appear like me. But they're, and then you get in a relationship with them, you're like, oh, crap, you're not like me. Well, no, they got all this other stuff going on in their charts. So, and then you have the descendants. The descendants are what you're attracted to. So we have Aries descendants, so we are attracted to assertive and aggressive women. And that's usually why we end up getting in trouble, because I get in more trouble than you do because you're more reserved than I am. But I guess that's the right word. But anyway.
You know what? I have a friend who said that she liked my way of doing things wrong as opposed to her not doing them at all. In this case, it's a matter of you doing it wrong, and I'm not doing it at all. So.
Yeah, I jumped the gun when it comes to getting in relationships a little bit. But
yeah, see, and I don't jump the gun at all. I don't even jump.
Right. Well, that's because of my Mars. My Mars is more aggressive than yours. Not by much, but it's more aggressive. And then I have Leos in my chart. You don't have any Leos. Leos are also aggressive. You know. And I have like 2.5 Leos. I'm like 2.5 men. I'm just kidding. But anyways, I'm a Leo on a Virgo cusp. Then I have my Venus in Leo. And then I have my Mercury in Virgo on a Leo cusp. So I've got, you know, all that Leo influence in my chart. So it makes me a lot more aggressive. But, so that's why I tend to jump the gun in relationships where you tend to hold back. I'm getting better at holding back, though. Mostly because I'm over 40 and scared of women.
Yeah, like that for a whole year.
I know. Well, that's mostly because I'm over 40 and scared of women because I've been hurt too much. .com.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Elizabeth.
Elizabeth Random.
Yeah, she's no longer stalking me.
Stalking you?
That's what she called it.
Pretty much. Well, yeah. Okay. That's the other thing. There's another terminology for it. This guy actually got the terminology from somebody else. But he calls it the fuck yes or no.
Yeah.
And it sounds vulgar, but it's not. Basically, what he's talking about is when somebody is showing you that they're interested, like, hell yes, I'm interested, then it's a hell yes. It's fuck yes. But if they're not showing you that they're like, hell yeah, I'm interested, then it's a no. And if you're not feeling that same way, then it's a no. So, this girl was giving you the hell yes, I'm interested, approach. She was stalking you, she was calling you, she was texting you, blowing you up. You know, she was interested. But you weren't.
She was, and I'd like her as a friend. I really would.
Right. Oh, yeah.
She's not looking for a friend.
Well, she might be looking for a friend, but she probably just got her feelings hurt because she didn't get the message. I mean, you gave her the message. She didn't get it.
Yeah. Yeah, I told her early on. And she heard that. Because she responded back with, well, my body doesn't do that anymore.
Right, you want more children.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
And then she proceeded to ignore them.
Well, see, and that's the other thing, too. A lot of people have a tendency to go after someone thinking, well, you know, she probably thought that your needs were irrelevant. Like, well, you're my age, you're too old to have kids, that's stupid, so I'm going to go after you anyways.
Which
why would you
make folks very unhappy?
Well, yeah. I mean, and I don't stalk her, but I'm friends with her on Facebook, so I see a lot of her posts and stuff. And she's very family-oriented, very family-focused, just like you are.
In other words, if I had met her before our lives had gone wrong, then our lives wouldn't have gone wrong.
Well, you would have been more compatible, yeah. But, I mean, so she should understand, though, where you're coming from. Because she's a very family-oriented, very family-focused person. She's focusing it, though, you know, on her grandchildren now. I mean, she's got grandchildren now, so she's putting all of her energy into the grandchildren, where
right.
You would, too, if you weren't looking to continue having more children. If your children were here and you had lives
well,
with them and they were having grandchildren, your life would be probably more in that direction.
Well, and if and when my daughter follows through with what she told my mom she wanted to do, I will have, hopefully, grandchildren to deal with. You know, which
right.
is great. But that's still not going to stop me from desiring to still want to have children.
Okay. Right, okay. So you just want to keep having kids till you die.
Pretty much. Now, if my sweetheart, Lord forbid, I find a woman who should be able to have children, but it turns out she can't. Okay, then that's the cards that God dealt me, and that's what I have. I'm not gonna abandon her just because she can't have children.
Right.
Right? And it has been suggested to me, well, why don't you adopt? And that sounds like a very reasonable and desirable
option.
Mode
as long as you don't have to go through the New World Order.
Bingo. Yeah. So any adoptions I do will be without Uncle Sam's or, I don't know, what do you call the UN? Uncle Nelly?
The New World Order.
Yeah. Without any of the New World Order or its children's permission. All right? Because, you know, they're not my God. What I'll do with my God's permission. And, you know, contrary to what some people say, my God does not say obey Uncle Sam.
True.
As a matter of fact, it has passages in there saying specifically to break down their temple and destroy their high places. So, really, if I was going to follow the scripture, I'd have to go down and knock down the Washington Monument and the Lincoln Memorial and all those ungodly idols that they put up.
Right. Those heathens.
But I'm not sure how that would
conspire.
No, well, yeah, I don't know how it would inspire people to be better. I don't know how that would work in conjunction with the 1 Corinthians that we read about charity/love, not being
right.
Unkind.
Well, yeah, and this country is founded on freedom of religion. So we do have to respect other people's religions, but they have to respect ours as well. And Uncle Sam does not respect our religions.
In the strictest sense, in the strictest meaning of the word religion, though, it's your actions, not your beliefs.
True.
And Uncle Sam clearly does not respect godly actions.
Well, no, it goes against their godhoodness.
Like, oh, my God, you want to tell somebody how they can be healthy? Oh, we're going to throw you in jail. You're practicing medicine without a license.
Right. So, going back to the fuck yes or no.
Yeah, so she definitely said fuck yes. And I said,
Right. So, you definitely got to make sure that the other person is all in. You know, it's kind of like that movie, you and I got different messages from the movie. But the movie, he's just not that into you. You know? It was basically talking about the same thing. You know, watching people's body language, watching their attitudes. You know, if you're interested in somebody, if they're not showing you that they're interested back, then you're wasting your time.
Right.
And if you are interested in somebody, let them know. Because maybe they're scared to show you that they're interested back.
Now, see, that goes contrary to the David D'Angelo stuff you've been having me.
Well, not necessarily. David D'Angelo tells you not to lean, not to be a wussy about it.
Right.
You know,
he tries to be a bit aloof to play the bad boy thing, that kind of stuff.
Well, I think most of those relationship people that are like David D'Angelo and like that other guy that you had me listen to, they start out as pickup artists, and then they mature and they grow into relationship artists.
Yeah.
And we're skipping the whole pickup artist crap and going straight to the relationship artist stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, some of that pickup stuff is useful if you're using it for the long-term goal of relationships and not just... It's like
David D'Angelo stuff because pretty much all this stuff is it doesn't work unless you have sex with a girl, from what I'm seeing. And that is the opposite of what I want to achieve. I want to develop a relationship with her know, sex is after we got commitment, not before.
Yeah, see, either we're listening to the different audios, or it's like the Bible. We're getting different messages from the same text.
Yeah. Well, he says he's in a really good relationship, and he says, of course he's in a good relationship. He went out and dated thousands of women, and he picked out the one that worked out best for him. And there's a lot of validity to that. You need to go out and meet people. If you're a couple of lonely bastards like we are, you got to go out and meet people. And,
well, yeah, that's the problem with being a truck driver. That's why I created TruckerDate.com, because we're stuck in a truck 70 hours or more a week, you know, actually way more than just 70 hours a week. I mean, we're out here on the road away from everybody that we know. We meet people on the road all the time, but unless we're just interested in sex, those people aren't options. I meet attractive women all over the country. But it's like, you know, they have really good personalities, all this stuff, but they're not an option because they're not close to home. And most people are not going to be willing to relocate. So I don't even bother with them. I'm like, you're too far away. You're not even an option.
Right, and if you find the one that wants to relocate, well, there's an old story that I used to hear. This old man was sitting with his grandchild at the edge of town, and this guy, as he approaches the town, he asks, you know, what are the people like here? And the grandpa asks him, well, how were they wrecked where you were? And the guy says, oh, they were nasty and conniving, and everybody cheated and stole from each other. You know, and that's why I'm leaving. And it's like, well, then you better keep moving because they're just like that here. And the next guy came along, same basic question, but his response is, oh, yeah, everybody took care of each other. They looked out for each other. And you know, I'm just traveling to meet new people, see if I can find more like the people where I came from. And the granddad said, well, welcome home, because, you know, that's what people are just like here. And the son asked why he gave two different answers to the two different men. It's like, well, you tend to find what you're looking for, you know. So if you found a woman who's willing to relocate because she's upset with what she's finding where she's at, you might have problems if you brought her to a new place. She's probably going to have the same problems here as she had there.
Well, yeah, because past predicts future.
Sorry for the long-winded explanation of that.
Well, you know, we take our problems with us. We are the, you know, we are the dictator of our environment and our future. You know, it's like I choose to surround myself with healthy-minded, educated, down-to-earth, good-quality people. I find out that they're not. I excommunicate them from my environment.
Huh.
Like JD, for example.
Yeah, that was a huh in my mind as you were saying that.
Yeah, the Trek. Both the JDs for that matter. But anyways, anybody that I just don't feel comfortable, I don't think that they are a quality person that's going to bring health and growth to my environment. And an environment that I'm going to want to bring a woman to, you know, if I don't feel safe having my woman around these people, and I don't think these people are healthy for my woman and her children, because I ain't having no more children, you know, I'm not going to associate with them. I want people around me that's going to be healthy for me and my family.
Right.
And if they're not healthy from my family, then you're not an option. So why am I hanging out with David Ray?
Hey, you need some sort of balance in your life.
I'm just playing. You're okay in my book. Wow, holy cow. We're at 1 hour and 49 minutes.
Yeah, so basically you hang out with me because you need somebody to poke holes in your balloon and be a downer for you.
Yeah, you balloon poker. You balloon popper. Hey, speaking of balloons.
Yes.
If you have a problem with your cat scratching up your furniture,
okay,
pin balloons, you know, where you blow it up, tie it off, and you pin the balloon at the part where you blew it up to the furniture. The cat goes to claw the furniture, boom! It will only do it so many times, and it won't do it again.
No, because after so many balloons go off, your wife will pick up the cat and throw it out the door.
Not only that, but it will traumatize the cat to where it will say, I'm not scratching that no more. Okay, we need to do Bron Paul before we leave.
Okay.
So I'm going to do that right now. Ding, darn, dilly. Here we go. Ron Paul, Revolution.
Weekly update for Monday, February 15th. Last week, U.S. stock markets tumbled yet again, leaving the Dow Jones Index down almost 1,500 points for the year. In fact, most major world markets are in negative territory this year. There are many Wall Street cheerleaders who are trying to say that this is just a technical correction, that the bottom is near, and that everything will be getting better soon. They are ignoring the real message of the markets they are trying to send. You cannot print your way to prosperity. People throughout history have always sought to acquire wealth. Most of them understand that it takes hard work, sacrifice, savings, and investment. But many are always looking for that get-rich-quick scheme. Monetary cranks throughout history have thought that just printing more money would result in greater wealth and prosperity. Every time this was tried, it resulted in failure. Huge economic booms would be followed by even larger busts. But no matter how many times the cranks were debunked, both in theory and practice, the same failed ideas kept coming back. The intellectual descendants of those monetary cranks are now leading the world's central banks, which is why the last decade has seen an explosion of money creation. And what do the central bankers have to show for it? Lackluster employment numbers that have not kept up with population growth, increasing economic inequality, a rising cost of living, and constant fear and uncertainty about what the future holds. The past decade has been a lot like the 1920s when prices wanted to drop, but the Federal Reserve kept the price level steady through injections of easy money and to the economy. The result in the 1920s was the Great Depression, but in the 1920s, prices were dropping because of increased production. More goods were being produced meant lower prices, which the Fed then tried to prop up by printing more money. Unlike the roaring 20s, however, the economy isn't quite as strong today. It's more of a gasp than a roar. Production today is barely above the 2007 levels. While heavily indebted households are already hurt during the financial crisis, don't want to keep spending. The bad debts and malinvestments from the last Federal Reserve-induced boom were never liquidated. They were merely papered over with more easy money. The underlying economic fundamentals remain weak, but the fundamental monetary cranks who run the Federal Reserve try to pump more and more money into the system. They fail to realize that easy money is the cause, not the cure, of recessions and depressions. They didn't realize that prices needed to drop in order to clear all the bad debt and malinvestments out of the system. Because they don't realize that, we are on the verge of yet another financial crisis. Don't be confused by any stock market rallies over the next few months and think that the worst is over. Remember that after Black Tuesday in 1929, the Dow rallied over the next year before it began slowly and steadily to sink again. The central bankers will do everything they can to delay the inevitable. If they had allowed housing prices to fall in 2008 and hadn't bailed out the big Wall Street banks, the economy would have recovered by itself. Yeah, it would have been a severe correction, but it would have been nothing compared to the inevitable correction that will present itself when the Fed runs out of easy money options. The Fed may try to cut interest rates again, maybe even going negative, or it will do more quantitative easing, but it won't work. Creating more money does not lead to economic growth and well-being. The more money the Federal Reserve creates, the more ordinary Americans will end up suffering. Thanks for calling this update.
To repeat the announcement, press 1.
Thanks for
I'd
calling
say bingo.
Update.
I'd say bingo
update.
On that one.
He didn't get to finish. It cut him off. Basically, the Ron Paul weekly updates are posted every Monday morning, technically every Sunday, but at 888-322-1414. Once again, that's 888-322-1414. Now, what was you going to say?
I was saying that was a bingo. Kinda...
Bingo.
If he's playing that gopher game, he nailed every gopher on the head.
Yeah.
Whack-a-mole or whatever it's called.
Whack-a-mole.
He nailed them all.
I don't understand.
What?
I don't understand.
What do you mean you don't understand?
I don't understand.
Hang
on, I'm going to put you on
hold.
Yeah, I'm going to put you on hold and see what I'm going to do that test thingy. All right, talk. Can you hear me? Hello?
It's the Queen of Rocks. How dare you?
Could you hear me, or what did you hear?
I heard the background music from when the program isn't on yet.
Ah, so that's what hold does.
Yeah, so that's not
basically,
good.
Well, no, it is good. If somebody's being unruly, you want to shut them out, you just put them on hold.
Ah, and then they realize they're done.
Right, like the trick. If the trick calls in, I'll just put them on hold.
Right, you do it for a second, and that should put a break in their words. And
well, no, just, it'll block them, sort of. I'm going to have to figure out how to block people.
Well, yeah, they can hang up and call in again.
Unless we figure out how to block them.
Well, you know, you could require people to dial *6 in order to speak. You know, Blog Talk, I think, gives you different controls. So, I'm not saying, you know, we have to switch, but I'm just saying we should look into it.
Blog Talk.
So maybe on Fridays we do Experimental Friday.
Experimental Friday! We can do that.
It's just you and me and
This coming Friday the 13th, no, I'm just kidding, Friday the 19th, I will not be available.
No, I'll have to monologue.
I'm just kidding.
Hey, where the heck
know.
Is David Irish? It's Sunday.
He's probably got a hot date with his wife.
After we change the day for him? How dare he?
How dare he? Now, actually, I may be available. I don't know. It just depends on whether or not she wants
to. But David Irish, when you're listening to this later and you've actually made it this far through the podcast, happy Valentine's Day to you and Connie.
Yeah.
I didn't mean a word of it.
Yeah, right. Liar. Now, yeah, Friday. It depends on whether or not she feels comfortable with introducing me to her children or not, and if I'm actually with her at 7 p.m. Friday. But I'm not counting on it. So I may be available Friday for podcast test, and we can try out the whatchamacallit, what is it? Blog cast?
Yeah.
All right, blog cast. I'm going to look that up now.
Blog talk.
Oh, blog talk.
Yeah.
Probably.com.
Probably.
Not.com. Blog talk. And I'll just put podcast. BlogTalkRadio.com.
There you go.
All right. So if I'm available Friday, we'll try this one out for size. Because I'll have 4G internet in Trenton. So... yeah. Bada-bing, sucker. All right, so we're done with our relationship podcast.
I guess so. It is 2 hours on the mark.
On the mark. Get set.
Goodbye.
Good. Good. So long. Farewell. Wiedersehen. Goodbye.
Oh, no, I'm hanging on.
Say what?
Now I'm hanging up. You know why you're saying that?
So I didn't have to.
So I didn't have to.
All right, I'll talk to you later. I'm going
home. All right, take care.
All right, good night.
Run, Paul, revolution. Run, Paul, revolution. Brothers and sisters, time to get together.
Okay, before I hang up, I just want to make sure everybody knows they can find this podcast and our future and prior podcasts at DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com, where we talk about pretty much everything but Dungeons & Dragons. All right, good night.